originated the now famous principle, I think, therefore I am. He concluded that man is a thinking substance, and that the concept of I must be distinguished totally from the physical world. For the essence of this physical world is what he called extension.
For when I think that a stone is a substance, and that I am likewise a substance, although I conceive that I am a thinking and non-extended thing, and that the stone, on the contrary, is extended and unconscious, there is the greatest diversity between the two concepts.
The split is complete. I think and am not spatially extended. The stone is extended and does not think. An unbridgeable chasm separates man and world. The two realities have nothing in common, except that both are what Descartes called simple substances. Descartes and many others came to believe that people are consigned to live in an alien world where they can never feel at home. Hegel's philosophy of nature deals with both problems at one stroke. Nature, he claims, is not mere extension in space. Nature is an integrated system of forces, an ordered system of plants and animals that gives nature its rationality and inner dynamic. These orderly forms reach an apex when they appear as actual life. Hegel insists that these universal forms are really in nature. They're not human inventions, nor are they ways of simplifying nature to gain scientific knowledge. Hegel criticizes thinkers like Hume, who believe that the universal features of nature are supplied by our own minds. He also criticizes those who think that universal features stem from customarily using the same word to indicate two things of the same kind.
These thinkers are sometimes uncertain whether these universals are subjective or objective. One can often hear it said that these classes and orders are only made as aids to cognition. This uncertainty is still more apparent in the search for distinguishing marks, not in the belief that they are essential objective characteristics of things, but that they only serve our convenience to help us to distinguish things. If nothing more than that were involved, we might, for example, take the lobe of the ear as the sign of man, for no animal has it. But we feel at once that such a characteristic is not sufficient for a knowledge of the essential nature of man.
To capture the essence of things, Hegel insists that we must think of them as objective realities.
When, however, the universal is characterized as law, force, matter, then we cannot allow that it counts only as an external form and a subjective addition. On the contrary, objective reality is attributed to laws, forces are immanent, and matter is the true nature of the thing itself. Something similar may be conceded in regard to genera, too. Namely, that they are not just a grouping of similarities, an abstraction made by us, that they not only have common features, but that they are the object's own inner essence. The orders not only serve to give us a general view, but form a graduated scale of nature itself.
In short, nature is an organic whole, shot through with a rationality that's akin to the reason we find in ourselves. Hegel calls this the presence of spirit in nature.
This now is the specific character and the goal of the philosophy of nature, that spirit finds in nature its own essence, that is, the concept, finds its counterpart in her. The study of nature is thus the liberation of spirit in her. For spirit is present in her insofar as it is in relation, not with something alien, but with itself. This is also the liberation of nature. Implicitly, she is reason. But it is through spirit that reason as such first emerges from nature into existence. Spirit has the certainty which Adam had when he looked on Eve. This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Thus nature is the bride, which spirit weds. But is this certainty also truth? Since the inner being of nature is none other than the concrete universal, then in our thoughts of this inner being, we are at home with ourselves.
Thus, Hegel no longer sees nature as a mere succession of things in space, totally other than man and God. Nature is a living embodiment of the same spirit that is manifest in us, we ourselves. The alien world is overcome. The reason that's in nature is in fact a mirror in which we see our rationality. We are in a world where we are at home.
The aim of all genuine science is just this, that mind shall recognize itself in everything in heaven and on earth.
This is the end of tape number one on Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. The presentation is continued on tape two.